Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No football to analyse on the deep dive today, but we've got better than that. We've got Jurgen Klopp's squad, so we're going to take a little look at that and sort of find out, I think, from you and from me, who the pillars are that Jurgen's going to build around moving forward. Now, this is one of your topic ideas, Josh. Do you want to explain where it sort of came from?
Yeah, well, we're a little bit late with it because it kind of popped into my head with Real Madrid, really. Because over the course of, like, the past decade, maybe, Real Madrid have just been consistently competing at the top, with the exception of, like, maybe one season. But they've went through, like, different eras, different phases, with some of the same players still there now, from the start. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in 2013-14, when Liverpool finished, I think, second in the Premier League with Suarez and that, Madrid won the Champions League that season. And in that team...
Shock.
Yeah. In that team, you had Dani Carvajal, Benzema and Modric. And the following year, Cruz joined. And they're still there now. And you've went through, like, the Casemiro, your Ramoses, Marcelo, Ronaldo...
Varane.
Yeah, Bale. Bale's another one in there. And they've just gradually phased him out, I think, every time at just the right time. Maybe Bale stayed a bit too long, but overall, they've got it spot on, I think, with, like, Ronaldo especially, and phasing out Ramos at the right times and stuff. And Liverpool in a position now where, like, we kind of need to do our own version of this summer. Klopp's had his first proper team, won everything there is to win, and we're now in a position where everyone looks a bit shattered, and we need to go again. But so he's got.
Can I caveat this with, do you think the evolution's already started?
Yeah, I think we're on our way. I think we're further into it than people realise, really, especially if you look at the forward line and the back line. There's been a lot of transition there compared to the first team that Klopp built. And I think we'll probably see the rewards of that, the fruits of that, maybe next season, hopefully.
Certainly with the front line probably being the biggest one. I mean, yeah, we're talking Ibu Konate, aren't we, really? The centre-backs is probably the first piece of this puzzle,
yeah,
in terms of defenders. Forwards-wise, we've obviously got Jota and
Nunes,
Gakpo, Diaz,
yeah,
obviously all an evolution from Bobby, Mane and you know, at some point down the line, Salah as well. So the midfield's the gaping hole, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the big thing this summer as well is, although we've got a few of those new faces in, this summer it's going to be a lot of, like, getting rid of some of the lads who are still kind of knocking about, who you've upgraded on. Even like Firmino has kind of been replaced now by Gakpo. You've got Bissetta, Ginelli coming through, and you've still got Naby there, and you've still got Ox there, and even Milner. So even Matip, like, contract expires next season. Whether he stays or not remains to be seen, but it feels kind of like a bit of a deadwood situation almost, mm-hmm, that we're going to be able to tackle this summer. So I think it's a good kind of point for us to kind of take stock and assess what Klopp 2.0 will look like, basically.
Well, let's look at it then. I think, obviously, first and foremost, we're going to talk around them as the pillars of the side, I suppose, and we might have some disagreement actually around who are those pillars that you build around.
Well, I haven't seen yours, have I? You haven't seen mine.
I've glanced. I did glance. I won't lie. I know there's going to be some disagreements. It's not a think. Okay, I am lying there. I'm going to start. Take them off the board.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's no pillars there. See you later. So that is where I think there's a problem.
Okay.
I'm going to remove Virgil van Dijk. Okay. And I'm going to remove Mo Salah.
Okay. We haven't got much of a board left, to be fair.
No, but you only need four pillars, and I've given you fucking six.
Yeah, you've given me six, yeah, go on. Go on, keep going.
So, Alisson Becker's a pillar.
Yeah,
30 years old.
I agree with that, yeah. I think goalkeeper's got nowhere, no question marks.
Ibu Konate, 23 years old.
Yeah.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, 24 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Andy Robbo, 29.
think he's 28, you know, but he might be 29, yeah. I'll double check that now. 29, you're right, yeah.
It's almost like I did my research. Luis Diaz, 26.
Yeah.
Cody Gakpo, 23.
Right.
And I'm going to throw a big Darwin Nunes shaped all over there in.
Yeah.
23.
You don't know where he's going.
And I might even throw Diogo Jota in at 26.
Okay.
Although I'm not 100% sure whether Jota's a pillar.
I'm not either. I don't think he is.
Okay. Who are yours?
So I've got Alisson, as you say. I've got Canate, Virgil, Robertson and Trent. And I think straight away people would maybe have not some question marks about that because this season the defence has looked awful. But I am of the opinion that the defensive line has looked so bad because of what's happened ahead of them.
We've actually illustrated it pretty well on the board. There's been no midfield.
Yeah. Even the front press, though, has been its new faces and things like that. So I think the back line is fine to go again, personally, and maybe win us another Champions League. But everything else around them needs to change. But I think the back five, including the goalkeeper, is virtually fine to go again, really, if you've got Canate there and he's fit and available every week. I agree with you with the midfield. I don't think there's anybody. I think there's players there who can fit the next team, potentially Bezetic.
Elliott is one
for me, who I do think will form part of some Liverpool team eventually as a central pillar who's playing every week, like an Odegaard who I touched on a few weeks back. But right now, I don't think we have any to build around. Fabinho, though, I do want to ask the question. Are you? Because I asked you a couple of months back and you...
I'll show you my list here, mate. I've got a question mark over Fabinho.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, my thinking all along was he's not done. 29 years old.
Yeah.
He's not done. But having watched him now for 2/3 of a season, I'm not sure even if he's not done, he's a pillar.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can get better than Fabinho now.
Yeah.
And a year ago, I wouldn't have told you that.
Yeah.
And I do think that you can improve on him.
Yeah.
And you should.
I've thought about this and the way I've kind of put it to myself is if I'd have never watched Liverpool ever and I'd have only watched them this season and my job was to critically assess them and be a sporting director and upgrade them in the transfer market, however I deem fit, I would look at the six and think he's massively upgradable in. And whether he's finished now, I don't know. Whether he's still got it in him, maybe just needs to be, you know, reignite the fire or whatever, or surround him with players who can run. And players you can press, maybe he'll look a bit better. But to me, it has looked like he's just chasing shadows, mate. It just looks like he's... To be honest, Casemiro lately has looked a little bit like that because he's playing so much. And Fabinho has played so much over the years that he now looks... Defensive midfielders were so good at like reading the play and intercepting the balls and things like that. Can't just suddenly look like they're chasing shadows if they're just a second late. It doesn't take much, and I think Fabinho could be there. He's the biggest question mark for me, I think.
Mm, yeah, okay. Well, what about your forwards then?
So, up front, I've got Diaz.
Yeah, 26.
Yeah. I've got Jota. Sorry, no, I've got Diaz, I've got Gakpo, I've got Nunes.
23.
And I've got Mo as my next team, yeah. Jota, I don't think is a pillar. I think Jota's just your kind of ever-present man of whatever occasion you need him for, almost, and he can just come in when you need him. But as a central pillar, like a Mane or a Salah or a Firmino, which we know form part of the first team, I don't think Jota's that. But the other lads, I do think we can build a team around. Nunes especially, obviously the price tag captures that. His first season, I think, has been pretty good, despite his turbulence at times. Still 23 and massive prospect, can be whatever he wants. Gakpo, I think he's already playing a lot, and I think he seems to be the only kind of attacking player that we've got that can be potentially some kind of take on Firmino. I think all the other lads are just kind of direct goal obsessed and they don't really see the picture as much. Gakpo can potentially be that. But the big one for me is Salah. Why have you marked him?
Right, because he is absolutely in my next Liverpool side, but he's not a pillar that I build around anymore. And it's the same for Virgil van Dijk for me. So for Mo Salah, yeah, he's going to be 31 by the time the next season rolls around. Virgil van Dijk's going to be 32 by the time the next season rolls around. Mm. I think when you look at the work that Liverpool have got to do over the next 2 to 3 transfer windows, their replacements have to be part of that. Whereas I don't think Konate's replacement is part of the next 2 to 3 windows, and I don't think Trent's. You could question Andy Robertson over the next 2 to 3, maybe, but I don't think any of these lads' replacements are getting bought in the next 2 to 3 windows, whereas I think you do have to get theirs in. If you've not already got Salah's in the door, by the way.
I actually don't think we get Salah's anytime soon. I don't think he's in the door either. I always touch on the fact that Salah's left-footed, so he's the only left-footed forward we've got at Liverpool, apart from Elliot, if you want to view Elliot like that. So on this side of the pitch, Jota can do it a bit, but I think Salah's the only real natural fit over there. And I know they're kind of getting on, but if you look at the Madrid example that I've used, that we're kind of getting this from, Cruz, I think, is 34. Modric is 37. Mm-hmm. Benzema, 35, maybe. And Carvajal, I think, is about 31, 32, or something like that. So I think if you pick out the right lads who are just ridiculous, they can probably go again for a new era. And I do think Salah and Van Dijk are kind of special enough to be able to win another host of trophies, if you know what I mean. But I'm more confident with Salah than Virgil.
Yeah. I think that's right, isn't it? I mean, look, using Real Madrid as an example again here, Cruz and Modric replacements are already there.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they've done really well, is that you've got the likes of your Valverdes and your Tchouaménis and everyone else is already in the door. And I think that's the important part of building a squad for the future. And I think that's where Liverpool have kind of gone wrong, is that it's been one out for one in. And I think a great side has to be, the fella's got to be there learning. The fella's got to be there learning.
Yeah.
And he's then got to step up, you know. And it's not just, right, Mo's gone, who are we going to buy?
Yeah.
It's, our replacement's ready.
Yeah.
We've integrated you over the course of the last 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is. And I think that's why the Diaz replacement, you know, injuries aside, was a good way of doing it with Sadio.
Yeah.
And actually, they were forced into that. It wasn't Liverpool's plan to get him through the door before Sadio left.
Yeah, that's true.
It was, shit, they're going to buy him. We better bring Diaz in. And I think that's where Liverpool need to get their strategy right, which is why I would say, for me personally, and I know you disagree, and that's fine, I would be looking to get a left-sided centre-half in.
No,
I would be looking to get a left-footed forward in.
Yeah.
And that's why, for me, they're not quite central pillars, although they are going to be big stars in the next side regardless. I'm not saying here we get rid of them. I'm just saying I think you need to buy the replacements.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think I would go and get like a left-sided centre-half, and I'd try and make this one left-footed as well. because we don't have any of them either. Yeah. And I think, you know, Matt's probably on his way out. But I know what you're saying, I think, but I do think we've done it a bit. Like, we did it, Canate, you could say, is the massive replacement. He's kind of been in the door a little bit.
Absolutely.
Diaz for Mane a little bit. Gakpo now is getting 6 months training as Bobby, in a way. It's the midfield we've just massively overlooked, obviously. Again, it always comes back to the midfield this season, doesn't it? He's just had so much faith in these, like, lieutenants who've just been there for the whole period of his tenure. And he's been really reluctant to upgrade them. And now we've got to undergo a real overhaul there, to the extent that we don't have anyone to build around, really, which is the opposite to Madrid in a way. Mm. Because two of their main pillars, Modric and Cruz, have been in the middle of the park. But up until last season, when they beat us in the Champions League final, although they've got Camavinga and they've now got Tchouaméni in the door, and they've got Valverde and players like that, Cruz and Modric were still central pillars to their Champions League win last season. And I think the reason Mo and Virgil are still in my team is because I think if we get this summer right, I think we could be in a Champions League final next season. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is now a new, like, clock going right back to the start and rebuilding. Because at the time when he did that, the squad was crap, essentially.
Yeah, the squad's really good now.
Whereas now, yeah, we are massively underperforming. If you look at the squad in terms of names, we've got a proper good squad. They're just not really performing at all, mainly because the engine room isn't functional at the minute.
Well, good question for you then, moving it on slightly. I had a little bit of a wobble on whether Robertson's a pillar. Did you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah, I did. Mainly because of his age, I suppose. But if you do look at his performances this season, I think we can agree that Alisson's probably been A, player of the season, and B, his usual standard. But I think if you think about Robertson, I don't actually think he's been that far off what we are used to. If you think of his level defensively and offensively as well, I think he's been mostly Robertson, apart from a few games, I suppose. But
has he been the best of the defenders?
In terms
he's definitely
of,
been the best of the fullbacks.
Yeah, in terms of being his usual self, I'd probably say he's been the closest, yeah. I don't think Robertson's shown me any kind of suggestion that he's on a decline. Whereas Fabinho, this could now be like more than just a dodgy period of form. Now it could just be, well, this is just where he's going now. This is the downward spiral. Robertson, to me, hasn't shown any of that, even though he's one of the oldest in the back line. Mm. What about you?
I agree with you. Pretty much everything you've said there, to be honest with you. I think Liverpool have utilised Robertson slightly differently this season, and they've not asked him to get forwards quite as much, which is why maybe his assists and all that are probably down a little touch, apart from the fact that we've been absolutely woeful this season. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I didn't have a wobble on. I absolutely had him as a pillar if we stick with the 4-3-3 formation. One thing I did sort of say last week is, go on.
I've got a question for you, actually. If he was Robertson's age, would you be saying the same thing based on his performances?
That's really mean. And the answer is probably, he might not be a pillar if he was 29. And that sounds terrible, but
based purely on performances.
Based on performances this season.
You would think he's on more of a decline than Robertson, wouldn't you?
Yeah, even though he would. It's horrible that, Josh. Would you?
I'd probably think about it, yeah. At 29. Because the way he's performing this season is, it does suggest he's maybe losing the fire or something. A bit like Fabinho in a way. But the fact he's 24 suggests he should still be comfortably able to go at least one more.
He's got to be part of the next team at the age that he is. My big thinking on this is, and I sort of alluded to this on a podcast last week, is I just wonder whether Klopp moved the needle a little bit too much in terms of the midfield, in terms of we were industrious.
Yeah, I agree.
We worked really hard and we moved to that Thiago Alcantara,
Harvey Elliott,
let's get creative. Everyone wants a creative midfielder. Let's do that. And in doing that, everything's gone flung back the other way. So I think the really interesting thing is, and we're going to touch on this in the next show actually on Plus, is that, like, what profile of midfielder does Klopp want? Because maybe 2 years ago, your Thiago Alcantara's and your Harvey Elliott were what Liverpool wanted to dominate the ball, but is that what Liverpool need? And is that what's going to get the best out of a player like Trent Alexander-Arnold? Or do we go back to that Jeannie Wijnaldum, Jordan Henderson, Fabinho.
The workhorse.
The workhorse midfield.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting question. And as you say, we're going to touch on it in the next show. But I think if you look at some of the links we've been rumoured to be linked with, Mount, Bellingham, Matthias Nunes, these are attack-minded players. One question I do have for you again, though. You say Trent is a pillar. Is he a pillar there?
He's got to be.
Or is he a pillar there? Because the question keeps popping up.
I know, and I will talk about Trent in midfield now, and I would never, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, I would never do it. But, like, he's in the side, and he's in the side at right-back until he's not in the side at right-back. Mm. Until Jürgen Klopp literally forces him into the midfield, then he's not a midfielder.
Yeah.
And my question is, not is he there, but is he there?
For me, I definitely can't see him as a six because I don't think he's safe enough on the ball. I think he's just so, like, open to risks and trying things and that. If you're doing that as a six and you're giving the ball away, you're going to get done going the other way. I think he needs some form of platform wherever he plays, like De Bruyne, where he can just try relentlessly to create and the rest of the team almost is kind of set up to protect that. And if he's playing as a six, I mean, one of the issues we've touched on with him is that it is his defensive work and is regaining the ball and that. So if he's playing as a six, he's going to be like a Sarri six, who's like a Jorginho who's dictating the play and all this. But Jorginho is much safer on the ball than Trent, and Jorginho wins the ball a lot as well.
Yeah, well, what about for Trent then? How do you get him to be that attacking threat again from right back?
Well, when we touched on Trent last week, was it last week or week before with the Trent episode, we touched on what he was, and he is, no matter where he plays, he's going to be super creative and he's going to lose the ball a lot. He's going to try things and things like that. And if you want to play him as a right back, you have to establish what you initially established for him to do that without the system collapsing. And that is, for me, putting a dog there who's going to cover him going that way, double up with him at times depending on the opponents he's facing, and just basically not get any of the spotlight, not get any of the credits, and just run himself into the ground almost. Because if you was to play De Bruyne as your fullback, you wouldn't play Harvey Elliott there. Mm. You wouldn't play just a creative type there, a Matthias Nunes there or whoever it might be. You would play someone who can protect this, because this is a risk. This is not really a popular tactical choice to make. And there's a reason for that.
What about, I mean, one of the things that I always see mentioned, I've never actually spoken to anyone about this, I've seen it online and stuff like that, and, you know, it gets mentioned in threads and stuff, is if you put him here, is he good enough with little time to play in those areas, or is one of the reasons he's so good is he's got the time and the space out here?
Yeah, well, that's another one of the perks of this weird tactical, like, innovation, I suppose, that Klopp's kind of fostered almost, because we know he's got like a ridiculous passing range in that. He can see passes and create and his switches of play are brilliant and things like that. But on top of that, he's got all the time in the world to do it. I remember Jose Mourinho was asked when he took over at Man United, is Wayne Rooney going to play in midfield? Because Van Gaal had played with it a little bit or something. And Mourinho basically said, if you put me in midfield and I am not under pressure, I could play those passes. As if to say, like, anyone with time and space can do it. Trent, I don't really know, but we haven't really seen much. We haven't seen enough of it. He can play in the final third. He looks composed enough in the final third to me to be able to cope in the centre, which can be a bit jam-packed in that. My worry again would just be, not whether he's technical enough to do it in the middle, but whether he's, again, enough of a defensive player to put a foot in the middle, because no matter where you play, especially if you play in the middle, though, you still have to put a foot in. Mm. There's nowhere we can play him where he can be a bit of a passenger, unless possibly as a 10. Those players have been, like, historically carried a little bit, haven't they? But I don't know, it's an interesting one, but I think you're right, though. You think overall he's a pillar, like, for the next team.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up. I think it's a natural sort of evolution into the next show, actually, which is on Plus. If you want to use the code DEEP, then you get 50% off. So it's £2.50 a month for the first 3 months. So sign up as a monthly club captain, £5 tier. Use the code DEEP, and you'll get the first 3 months for just £2.50 per month, which is 80 pence cheaper than a shit coffee in a shit coffee shop on a high street in England. We're going to be talking about midfielders, and you guessed it, the alternatives to Jude Bellingham.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.